Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors if you would like to join us as we assemble together to worship God and to study from His Word. We also offer in-home Bible studies if you would be interested in studying from the inspired Word of God to learn more about Him and about His will for us. We would be happy to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. The website, again, is olneychurchofchrist.org. And the number is 217-218-0803. If you would like to turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 is the first chapter we will look at in our program here this morning. I want to notice something that is said in verses 15 and 16 of this chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. I'll be reading from the World English Bible Translation here this morning. It says, "But just as He who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all of your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Something that God makes clear in His Word, He expects of us and demands of us in order for us to be pleasing to Him, is for us to be holy. And I want to consider some things taught in Scripture here this morning that relate to this theme of being holy. Generally speaking, when we talk about our need to be holy, we're talking about our need to be set apart from the sinfulness of the world in order to bring glory to God. And I want to consider some things taught in Scripture that help us to better understand how God expects us to be holy and what our lives will look like if we are holy as God desires. If you turn over to John chapter 17, John chapter 17 is a chapter in which we read a prayer of Jesus. This prayer is primarily offered on behalf of His disciples, as well as others who would come to be a part of His church. But I want to zero in this morning on something He prayed in verse 17 of this chapter. It says, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." That word sanctify that is used there in John 17 and verse 17 is very similar to the word holy. In fact, the original Greek word used in John 17, 17 that is translated as sanctified or sanctify comes from the original Greek word used in 1 Peter 1, 15 that is translated as holy. And so when Jesus here prays that his disciples would be sanctified, he's praying that God would help them to be holy, to be set apart from the sinfulness of the world in order to bring glory to God. And he pinpoints here what it is that is in many ways the basis for this when he says, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. And so as we begin thinking about our need to be holy, we want to recognize that in order for us to be holy, we need to be set apart from the sinfulness of the world. And the way that we can be set apart from the sinfulness of the world is through the truth of God's word. And so for us to be holy, we need to first of all learn what God says is true. And then we also need to allow that truth to change our behavior so that it fits what God commands of us as we see brought out in His Word. If you look over in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and in verse 2, in Romans chapter 12, and in verse 2, there the inspired writer says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good, well-pleasing, and perfect will of God. So the command given here in this verse to the Christians that Paul was addressing is to not follow the pattern of the world, but rather to be transformed as God desires in order to fit what His will is for our lives. And it's interesting as we think about that word transformed. The original Greek word that was used in that verse that's translated transformed is the Greek word metamorpho. And if you hear that word metamorpho, you might think of the metamorphosis process that we know that caterpillars, for instance, go through as they change their outward form and eventually become a butterfly. And there's a connection between the word transform that is used here in this verse and that word metamorphosis. There's a key difference, though, between the metamorphosis process that the caterpillar goes through and the transformation process that we are to go through. That caterpillar is changing its outward form, but the transformation process that God demands of us is one that begins with a renewing of our minds. It begins with a changing of our minds as we let the truth of God's word get into our hearts and change our minds and our hearts so that we begin to see things as God describes them in His Word. And so as we become holy as God desires, that's going to require us to, first of all, learn what He says is truth, but then apply that truth to our lives by changing our minds to see things as God describes them in His Word, and then changing our behavior to fit what we find in God's Word He expects of us. If you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and notice something that is said in verse 11 of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 11. I won't read verses 9 and 10, but if you take a look at those verses, you'll notice that he lists a number of sins and mentions that those who are guilty of these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. But I want to pinpoint what he says in verse 11 of this chapter when he says, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God." So notice here, after listing these sins that if not repented of will lead one to spend eternity in hell, the inspired writer goes on to say, "Such were some of you." But these individuals he was addressing had been sanctified. And that sanctification process, that process of becoming holy, that transformation process that they underwent was a process that led them to change their behaviors and thus no longer be guilty of these sins that were mentioned. And so as we think about becoming holy, we want to recognize that it involves learning what God says is true. It involves changing our minds so that we see things that God says is sinful as the evil that they are. And it then involves changing our behavior so that we put off sinful things we are involved in and we put on the things commanded of us by God. Notice something related to this that is said over in 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 3 and 4. Says, "For we have spent enough of our past time doing the desire of the Gentiles and having walked in lewdness, lusts, drunken binges, orgies, carousings, and abominable idolatries. They think it is strange that you don't run with them into the same excess of riot, blasphemy." So notice here in these two verses that once again the inspired writer addresses individuals who have gone through a transformation process and made changes as needed in their lives. He mentions there the words "our past time" in verse 3 and mentions "having walked." In other words, this used to be what we were involved in, but we're not involved in these things anymore. And verse 4 makes it even clearer that they were not involved in these things anymore when it says they think it is strange that you don't run with them into the same excess of riot. But something else that I want to pinpoint here on verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 4 is that when we make the changes that God requires us to make in order to be His holy people, that is going to lead us to be different in certain ways from many in the world around us. And it may cause us to be viewed as strange in the eyes of some in the world around us. It may cause us to be spoken evil of by some in the world around us. But this isn't something to be ashamed of on our part. Rather, we should realize that this is part of being God's holy people. God desires us to be set apart from the sinfulness of the world, and there are many people who we may be surrounded by who are involved in sinful things that God does not want us to have any part of, and there are many things He wants us to be very zealous about doing that others may not be doing with their lives at all. And if we are submitting to God's will instead of conforming to the world, we're going to be different from many in the world around us and perhaps even viewed as strange and spoken evil of by those living in sin. But something that we might bear in mind that might help us when faced with these differences and the reactions that we get from others upon changing as God desires is to remember what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus there was speaking and He says, "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter in by it. How narrow is the gate, and restricted is the way that leads to life. Few are those who find it." Now, if we ask the question here, would we rather be among the many, or would we rather be among the few? And we see that Jesus taught that the many are going down the broad way that leads to destruction. That is the broad way that leads to spending eternity in hell. But the few are going down the restricted way that leads to life. That is the restricted way that leads to spending eternity in heaven with God. As we consider that, it is perhaps an immediate reaction for us to say we want to be among the few rather than being among the many. But it can be more difficult when we are surrounded by individuals engaging in something sinful. It can be more difficult at that moment in time to still have that same determination, I want to be among the few going down the restricted way that leads to life. But that's the mentality and the determination we need to have if we're going to be able to spend eternity in heaven with God by being His holy people who please Him. And so as we think about being God's holy people, we want to begin by recognizing that that involves learning what He says is truth. That then involves applying what he says is true to our lives by changing our mind and then changing our behaviors. And as we change our character and our behaviors in order to please God, we're going to become different in certain ways from those in the world around us, and we should realize that such differences are not something to be ashamed of, but rather such differences are at times required of us by God. And so being holy is going to lead us to be set apart from the sinfulness of the world in order to bring glory to God. And the way that we can do this is by learning what God says is truth, allowing that truth to change us, both in terms of our mind and in terms of our behavior, as we transform our lives to become the kind of people God desires us to be. But one last point that I want to consider here in our program this morning that relates to this theme of being holy is brought out over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 2 of that chapter, the inspired apostle addresses the recipients of this epistle, the direct recipients, that is, of this epistle. And he mentions that it's being addressed to the church at Corinth, that is, to the Christians in Corinth. And I want to zero in on a specific phrase used here in this verse, about halfway through 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. You see the phrase there, called to be saints. As we think about the word saints and how this word is used in Scripture, it's a word that is used to refer to the same group of individuals as the word Christians. We don't see in the New Testament certain Christians being called saints while others are not at that level. Rather, the New Testament describes all those who are Christians as saints. And the significance of this is better understood when we consider what this word saints has reference to. In 1 Corinthians 1, 2, the Greek word that is used that is translated as saints is the same Greek word used in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. That is translated as holy. That's what being a saint is all about. It's about being holy. It's about being set apart from the darkness of the world, the sinfulness of the world, in order to bring glory to God. And so, all Christians, when we consider this term, all Christians are to be saints. That is, all Christians are to be holy. But another point to consider with this that is in some ways the reciprocal of this, we might say, is that we must be a New Testament Christian in order to be holy. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, when the Holy Spirit through Peter there wrote to Christians, he referred to these Christians collectively as being a holy nation. And so the church, which is made up of all of those who are in Christ, the church is God's holy nation. The church is made up of those who are to be God's holy people. And so one final point that we can glean from this as we think about holiness is that for us to be holy, we must follow God's pattern for becoming a New Testament Christian. And God teaches us in His Word how we can become a Christian, how we can get into Christ. In Romans 6 and verse 3, and in Galatians 3 and verse 27, we read that one is baptized into Christ. That is, when one hears the truth about Christ as the Son of God, and he or she is convicted of that truth and determined to give his or her life to Christ in obedience, he or she can then be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ and be added by the Lord to his church and thus become a part of this holy nation that is now set apart from the sinfulness of the world in order to bring glory to God. I'm going to encourage anyone who has any questions about anything that was stated this morning, please don't hesitate to contact us. You can reach us at 217-218-0803. Our website is allneechurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute lesson here this morning with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.